Good morning. Welcome to worship here in Sanctuary and online. My name is Mike Sanger. I'm the senior pastor here at Desert Hills. It's a joy to have you worshiping with us today. Pastor Craig is on vacation this weekend. I want to welcome you. If this is your first time visiting with us this morning, I invite you to please stop by our welcome desk so we have a chance to greet you more formally. And again, welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning online. One of the things that we do every time we gather for worship is remind ourselves what we believe God is calling us to be about here at Desert Hills. So I invite you to join with me as we proclaim together our mission statement. Here at Desert Hills Lutheran Church, we celebrate grace. We make disciples who make a difference. May it be so among us every day of our lives. Some announcements for the coming weeks ahead. First of all, this Friday, September 15th at 9 a.m. is Express Yourself at Madeira Sunrise. So I invite you to come there and have some coffee and some breakfast and just conversation. I invite you to wear your name tag so that we get to know each other more, and that way you get to know your neighbor who maybe goes to a different worship service but is part of this community. So it's just a great way for us to interact across the different worship services we have on the weekend. So this Friday at 9 a.m. Next weekend is Fair Trade Sale, so again, be aware of that. We'll be selling chocolate and teas and coffees and oils. That'll be happening in the Northwest Hallway next weekend. On Monday, September 11th at 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the Women's Ministry Luncheon. It's the first luncheon of the fall. They invite you to bring a salad to share, but there is no tickets necessary. So all the women of the community, please come tomorrow for that at 11:30. The men's breakfast will begin on September 21st at 8:30 a.m. They'll be having a presentation on the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, the Boneyard. And tickets are to be purchased. You need tickets for that because they're the food being provided. You need to purchase your tickets by September 18th. You can do that at the front desk. So again, the cost is $7 per ticket. Again, that will be on Thursday, September 21st. This weekend, as well as next weekend, you will notice the display up here and out in the narthex and along the hallway. Our Global Mission Committee has started a campaign called Education is Life-Saving. You should have received a lifesaver, hopefully, this morning when you walked in. If not, grab one to remind you that education not only increases the mind, it actually saves lives across the world. So we are working on that campaign these next 2 weeks. It's through the ELCA World Hunger Program and Good Gifts Catalog. And it's, again, gives us an opportunity not only to make a difference, but to make disciples across the world. We'll give our resources for school fees, uniforms, classroom supplies, and more. You can give a variety of ways. You can give on our website, dhlc.org. There's a way to give that way. Hit on the give link. Or you can stop by our Global Mission Committee's table. They are outside. You go outside the sanctuary, turn a right. They're right there. You'll see them in their bright yellow shirts to reminding us of we're doing God's works with our hands. So that will be taking place this weekend and next weekend as well. Once again, I just want to welcome you here to worship this morning and just to invite you to open your hearts as we begin with a time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we are just so thankful that we can gather here today, whether in sanctuary or online, to hear of your love and grace. This morning as we gather, we lift up those in Morocco who were devastated by the devastating earthquake that took place this weekend. We pray for those who lost their lives, for families that grieve, for those who are risking their lives trying to rescue others. Be with that country as they go through this time of crisis. Be with all the care workers and those who are providing resources. Watch over them and guide them. Bless us this day as we lift our voices in praise and thanks for all that you have and continue to do in our lives as we hear your invitation to be a disciple and thus go out in the world and make disciples so that we may all experience your love and grace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please stand if you're able for our opening hymn.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus, our Savior, in response to your call to be your faithful disciples, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Open our lives and teach us how to follow your great commission to make disciples of all nations, to baptize and teach them your ways. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today's second scripture reading are various passages from the Gospel of Matthew, starting with chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Now we continue from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Beloved people of God, grace and peace to you this day, both here in sanctuary and online. May you know God's love and be filled with his presence. Amen. Starting last week and continuing through next week, we're looking at traveling around the parking lot, reminding us that this movement we have from our entrance to our exit reminds us what we are called to be about here at Desert Hills. If you were here last week, you would have been reminded the only legal way to come into our parking lot is to come through grace. When you enter that parking lot, immediately you are confronted with that sign, that rock that says, "Celebrate grace." And as we talked about last week, grace is God finding us when we are lost, God giving us life in the midst of our death. Grace is God's gift and choice to love us and give us life. And we heard last week, we enter into today, whether here or online, through grace, which we celebrate, this great gift of God. As you continued around the parking lot, you will discover, now that you're here, what does it mean? We are reminded we are called to make disciples. Make disciples. When I was young, I wanted to be a comedian. Hard to believe. But because I wanted to be a comedian, I would watch comics on TV. And I had those that I really paid attention to. Tim Conway, Red Skelton, Johnny Carson, Flip Wilson. And especially Johnny Carson and Flip Wilson, I watched a lot to imitate them. I would, at any moment, at any opportunity, I would break into my Johnny Carson routine or my Flip Wilson routine. Whether it was with family, with friends, to the annoyance of my teachers, it didn't matter. If I saw an opportunity, I would take it. And one of the greatest joys I would get would be if someone would recognize what I was doing. Because that reminded me I was getting it. I was acting in a way that others could tell who I was trying to imitate. But if you would ask me a question, how would Flip Wilson answer this question? I would have no idea. I was never invited over to Flip Wilson or Johnny Carson or Tim Conway. None of their houses to have conversations. I wasn't a part of their inner circle. All I knew was what I saw on TV. All I knew about them was what they were willing to show me in their routine. I could mimic parts of their lives, but I had no idea what their life was about. Make a disciple. So what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Is it simply to mimic Jesus at certain opportunities, be able to say certain things that Jesus would say? That's not how Scripture describes what a disciple is. It's not how the first century Jewish community understood what a disciple was. A disciple was those students who chose to so follow their rabbi that they could answer and respond as if they were their rabbi. In Jesus' day, there were many different rabbis who taught different things about the Torah and what it meant to be Jewish. And the greatest honor both a rabbi could have and a disciple could have was when those who listened to the disciple could say, "Oh, I know who your rabbi was. I know who trained you because you talk like them. You give the same answer that they would give." It is into that understanding of discipleship that Jesus invites us to be a disciple. So what does it mean? What does it take to be a disciple? Jesus says the first thing it takes to be a disciple is you have to be willing to follow. Over and over again, Jesus invites those who come into his circle to follow him. To follow is the beginning of discipleship. We enter through grace to begin to follow Jesus. And not just to imitate Jesus, but to be so close to Jesus that we begin to understand how Jesus lived his life and how he would respond. If you watch and listen and hear how Jesus responded to his disciples, he allowed them into his inner circle. He allowed them to see his life so that they may imitate that, so that they might be like him. Scripture tells us that we are to be imitators of Christ, to be so close to Jesus that our lives begin to reflect. And that takes a opening of our hearts, doesn't it? To follow someone is to open your heart, your life, to someone else. Kristen, my wife, has told me these last several years, my dad passed away about 5 years ago. And after my dad passed away, she said, you know, you're sounding more and more like your dad every day. That I know certain jokes he would make at certain opportunities. I know how he would respond in different situations. And now that he is no longer with us, I have kind of stepped into that role. I have brought him with me by how I act and talk and respond. Because I know him so well. I know how he lived his life because I lived it with him. That I can now take on some of him, his characteristics in my life. Science tells us that if you're with someone long enough, you begin to look like them. Just be aware of that. But it doesn't really mean you change what you look like, does it? And what it means is you begin to act that way and it changes the way people see you. You begin to take on the characteristics of that other one. You can respond when they're asked a question, you can answer on their behalf. Look at children. Look at children, how they learn to walk just like one of their parents. And you can say, well, I know you're their daughter because you walk like your mother. We take on characteristics. That's what we do. That's how we learn. Children learn by watching and taking on the characteristics of those adults around them that they trust and love. And Jesus is telling us the same thing in our lives. We are to be so close to Jesus that we begin to take on his characteristics, his life in our life. And that takes by willing to follow Jesus into this mystery of life that is all around us. But being a disciple is more than simply following and giving your heart. Jesus also tells us that our minds need to be transformed. Only a few moments ago, we all confessed together, we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Well, then how do you expect to be changed if you can't do it? You can't. You can't try harder. It takes the Spirit of God working in you that will transform your mind. Jesus promises us that if we follow Jesus, we will be changed. I guarantee you that if you open your hearts to Jesus, if you begin to imitate your life to the way Jesus lived your life, you will be changed. You will be transformed. You may not see it, but others will. You will begin to see the world differently and each other differently. And this transformation takes by being willing to follow and receiving God's love. this weekend and next weekend as this display reminds us, even though some of it rolled down the hallway, this display reminds us that we're having this opportunity this week and next week to support families and children across the world in their education. And if it was simply about educating them on how to write and to read and to do math, that would be great. But it's more than that. Do you know that these schools these young individuals are going to are schools run by the church? And when they go to school, not only do they hear how to read, not only are they given tools to do math, they are told that God loves them and they hear the call of Jesus to follow him. Those schools are not just helping those students have tools for life, they're giving them who life really is, the author of life. They're teaching them skills, but they're also teaching them and calling them to be disciples. That's the amazing thing when the church and education can come together. Can you imagine a family who makes maybe $1 to $2 a day? And they have a child who would love to learn, but they can't afford the $350 it would take to send them to school every year. Can you imagine that child when they hear that someone across the country, across the world, that they never know but yet are a disciple of Jesus, wants to help them go to school? And they hear not only tools to live life, but they hear that God loves them. What a gift. That's how we make disciples, is by giving them the opportunity to hear that God loves them, by transforming their minds to see something bigger than themselves, bigger than their struggles, bigger than their challenges, that there are people that love them because God loves them. So God wants to begin with our heart, transform our minds, but God does not stop there. To be a disciple of Jesus now means to engage your hands. That we're called to make, to engage the world, to make a difference. And we do it through our hands. Jesus taught his disciples not just to know the right answer, but how to live that answer, how to engage with other people, how to touch the untouchable, how to care for the broken, how to offer forgiveness and grace. Jesus calls us as disciples to use our hands, our minds, our bodies, our voices, all that we are, to witness to what God is doing. Not only through our actions, but how we act, how we engage. That's what it means to be a disciple, to have our hearts opened, our minds transformed, and our hands used for the glory of God. Now, the problem with discipleship is the minute we mention discipleship, we all wonder, where am I in the pack? How good am I doing compared to somebody else? And we have a tendency to look at someone else and say, well, you're not a very good disciple. That's not what discipleship's about. Discipleship is not a competition, it's not a race. It's an invitation. It's an invitation given to each and every one of us, and each and every one of us is on a different journey. We're all in different places. But the invitation remains. Jesus' own disciples struggled with that. Who's the greatest, Jesus? We always want to know, how do we compare? And Jesus reminds us, don't worry about them. Worry about, how are you following? How are you opening your heart? How is your mind being transformed? How are your hands being used for my glory? For this is a journey, sisters and brothers in Christ, we have all been called to. Because we discover in being a disciple of Jesus, we discover what life's about and where life is found. That we discover the joy of God's presence in our lives. We discover a blessing that we never could imagine, and a life lived that is full of grace and love. That's the call of discipleship. And it doesn't matter where you are on the journey, whether you're taking that first step or begin to struggle with what does that mean, or you've been in this journey a lifetime. The invitation remains. God remains faithful. At the end of Matthew, when Jesus tells his disciples to go make disciples, he reminds them, and I will be with you forever. And Jesus reminds each of us in our own journey, God will not leave you. God will be with you forever. Whether you're struggling or whether you're experiencing the blessing of following, God is there. And God is faithful. So we get back on the journey. We keep moving forward because the invitation of God continues to invite us. So if you'd like to dig a little deeper in today's message, I invite you to think about this. What has been a great joy or challenge in your own journey of discipleship? What's been a joy or a challenge? And the reality, whether it's a joy or a challenge, God will use that to shape you. Both in challenges and joy, we realize the faithfulness of God and our own strength given to us by the Spirit. We all have them. We all have those moments in our lives that are joys and challenges. But God is there, and the invitation remains. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, we're called to make disciples. But it begins. It begins by being a disciple. Allowing your heart to be open, your mind to be transformed, and for your hands to be used for the glory of God. Go, sisters and brothers. Go make disciples. For you are my disciples in the world. Amen.
Oh,
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will now have the gathering of offerings. In Psalm 119, the beauty of God's word is revealed. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, our prayers, our gifts of time, and the ability to proclaim your good news to a world that is in need of your word of hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have recently died, including Pat Jacob. O God, receive them into the arms of your mercy and everlasting peace. And may the truth and promise of God's resurrection bring comfort and hope to their family and friends who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Leaving the prayer list with thanksgiving for healing is the Hokanson family. We take time now to silently pray for those who remain on our prayer list, as well as for others in our hearts and for situations in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we are recipients of your great love, and the good news of your gospel is our salvation. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we may see the hope to which you have called us, the hope of eternal life. May our hearts burn with the words of the Great Commission, so that we make disciples of all nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Seeking God, open the doors in all areas of our lives. May you pave the way for the conversations we will have. Make us aware of opportunities to bear witness to the greatness, the glory, and the goodness of our Savior. Give us a boldness to walk through these doors and proclaim the hope of redemption and the promise of unconditional love we have in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all knowledge, we pray for those communities that struggle with the challenges of educating their children and the financial burden often placed upon them. Bless schools that provide educational opportunities to the most vulnerable, that through their learning they are better able to care for themselves and their families. Use those resources that we have provided to equip and support those students in greatest need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for peace in our world. So much of this world is full of chaos and hate, but we know that is not of you. We pray that the people of this world would not be destructive but compassionate. Years have passed, but the events of September 11th will not be forgotten. As the anniversary comes about, let us take on the posture of peace toward one another. Pray for our neighbors, our nation, and our world as we remember those who lost their lives. Let us be ever mindful to pray for peace and to boldly invite your Holy Spirit to be among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, in Christ you enter our condition. You experience our sorrow, our joy, and by your Holy Spirit, you carry us along. In crisis and celebration, in despair and accomplishment, we are never alone because you are always by our side. We pray for those who need your care because of illness or injury, and those in pain physically or emotionally. Please heal them, compassionate God. Restore health to their body, mind, soul, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Please stand as we join our hearts and our voices to sing together the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
Our Lord and Redeemer.
Once again, we hope this service was a blessing to you and you hear Jesus' invitation to follow him. If you are a first-time visitor, please stop by our welcome desk so we have a chance to greet you this day. Now hear the blessing of God. May we go in grace and peace to be the hands and feet of Jesus to touch a broken world. May we go in grace and peace to love the world on behalf of Jesus, to represent him to a broken world. May we go in grace and peace to discover the joy of joining the work of Jesus, finding him among the broken of this world. We do this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending song.
Go make a difference in someone's life today. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.